Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Corinthians, and I do appreciate you all being here with us today. And how many of you love to listen to the news? How many of you really don't like listening to the news anymore, honestly? How many, it has been a change. You used to like to listen to the news, but you don't like to listen to the news anymore. Well, it's there's a saying that has taken on so much traction recently. Fake news. And you all have heard this expression. It's the concept of proclaiming something that has little or no truth as if, in fact, it is factual. Now, certainly in the last political cycle, fake news was all the rage. It was all brought out to our attention. As many people would see these posts on social media that said, you know, some big juicy detail about some candidate or about some group of individuals or about some organization. And actually, it became very irritating to me that on social media, people would send me these links, or some people actually posted it to my timeline, you know, some big thing, and I've got mine set up that's like, nope, no one can do that. And I'd go and review them and then just do a little fact checking. And it didn't take long for most of the stuff, and I'm saying most of those things, that you would do some simple research and find out that they were absolutely made up. And so that was always kind of irritating. In fact, there's a guy named James McDaniel. And what James McDaniel did, he actually is now living in Costa Rica, but he created a website called undergroundnewssource.com, and this was his entire philosophy. This is an experiment. I want to see how quickly I can make up a story that's just bogus and then see how long it takes to spread. Now, he did this as a joke, and within just a few weeks, he had over 1 million hits on his website, and it was being shared and being it went viral. And people were taking articles that he wrote, such as he'd wait for an event to happen, and then he'd choose a celebrity or a star, and then he'd quote them, and he'd take a picture off what they did, saying, this person says, blah, 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 blah. That was totally made up. Well, now he's facing all these different suits. These lawsuits are coming against him, and he did it as absolutely just a joke. In fact, there was a satirical, you know, anybody heard of The Onion? Yeah, Onion is satire. 9 times in the past couple years, individuals have given speeches where they have quoted articles from The Onion without realizing it was satire. In fact, one of the most recent one was one of the disgraced officials from FIFA. Onion did this article about FIFA saying that they were trying to bring everything to the United States for some crazy reason. It was some big thing. But they quoted one of the FIFA executives. Well, he had read this. He lived in another country. And he did this big press conference. And he said, it's been reported in the United States. Da-da. And I just want to go on the record of saying this. It was The Onion. It was satire. And they took it as factual information. And so as I began to think about why are we drawn and how much time, I mean, don't you hate it when people waste your time? How much time and energy and efforts are wasted on things that aren't true, on fake news? And it is truly troubling. And moreover, why are we as people drawn towards those big juicy details? Why do we want to hear something? Why do we want to hear somebody who we necessarily don't like too much? We want to hear that they have fallen. And so because we want something to be true, we assume it is. I assume that I weigh 140 pounds. I can assume it all day long. Don't mean that that's the case now, right? I can assume that Krispy Kremes are healthy. Right? We could assume all kinds of things. And the fact is, just because I want something to be true doesn't mean it's so. Now, here's where I want to go with this. In terms of the gospel, in terms of the good news, we can't allow fake news to overshine the good news. Because a lot of people in the world today assume certain things about God or about what it means to be in relationship with Him that in fact aren't true, but they're being perpetuated by the general society. You know some of them. Be a good person. The big one that we deal with now is legalism. As if you follow the Ten Commandments, that makes you holy. Really? Well, then God didn't need to send Jesus. No, I mean, there's so much of Scripture that it is sent specifically towards that. And so as we consider these things, as we consider these issues, I want you to know that we're not alone. In fact, the Apostle Paul dealt with fake news, and he dealt with it on several levels. First of all, there was really thought out attacks against his apostleship, against his authority, against his trustworthiness, against his honesty. And he had to address these. In fact, in 1st and 2nd Corinthians, part of what he's doing is setting the record straight. He's bringing them back to facts. But moreover, more important than his personal issues, Paul was shining a spotlight on the good news or the gospel of Jesus Christ and how individuals were coming in and they were spreading mistruths about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so Paul kind of goes through both of these letters, 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, and he's trying to set the record straight and trying to point them towards Christ specifically and towards the gospel. And he's got some good advice for us in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Let's read this together. And we can read the first two words and pretty much stop. Examine yourselves. In other words, you need to look inside. Examine yourselves. You know, Paul is on this tangent in this particular portion. He's responding to these accusations about his character and his conduct. And his advice is, hey, you need to look at yourself, okay? To see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Stop right there. How much of our life, of our interactions, would be different if we truly realized in the moment that Christ is in us? I mean, seriously, how many times do things happen or stimulus comes into our lives, an event happens, and you respond, and your responses aren't necessarily Christ-like responses? I mean, truly, I would assume that all of us in the room, we are guilty of not always getting it 100%, right? And so this is a simple truth. Look inside and test yourselves. Don't you realize this, that Jesus is in you, unless indeed you fail to meet the test? I hope you will find out that we have not failed the test, but pray to God that you may not do wrong. Not that we may appear to have met the test, but that you may do what is right, although we may seem to have failed the test. He's basically saying here, look, when you're looking inside yourself, it's not about saying, are you perfect? Because some people, honestly, some people look inside themselves and they're like, man, I haven't had a big time sin this week. I'm doing pretty good. I don't need God much this week. Newsflash. If you don't commit any sin, which is really difficult to not commit a sin, you still need God. Your righteousness is not based on how squeaky clean you are. Your righteousness is based on how perfect Jesus was. Amen? And it is important. This is what breeds legalism and self-righteousness and a lack of compassion for anyone else. Paul's saying, look, we're not trying to say that we've got it all together. We're trying to say this. We need Jesus. Even when we get it right, we need Jesus. Keep looking inside, though, because it generates this motivation for why we press in towards Him. Verse 8, for we cannot do anything against the truth, but only for the truth. For we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. So, you know, there are people in the church who are excited to go on a witch hunt. And he's like, hey, guys, have you forgotten a step here? Look inside. That's good advice for us all. It's great advice for us all. In fact, these are echo the words of Christ in the Gospel of Luke chapter 6, verses 41 through 45. A very familiar portion of Scripture, but we often stop too soon when we read through this. Jesus says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye?" How many of you ever noticed a speck in someone else's eye? I sure have. In fact, if I go back to our, you know, our original conversation of fake news, that's what that really is all about, is we want to see the speck in our brother's eye. That's what is in us as human beings. We want to see someone else fall, or someone who we don't appreciate or we don't agree with. If we can see them fall, we want it to happen, and we look for it. I believe if we had half of the motivation for the gospel, for good news, as we did for fake news, more people would be saved. That's my belief. My personal belief. Jesus goes on to say, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take that speck that's in your eye. Let me take out the speck that's in your eye when you yourself do not see the log that's in your own eye. Paul says, you hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye and then you'll see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. You see, a lot of us stop right there and we don't realize that these thoughts are connected. So, he says, you're going to take the log that's in your own eye. Then you're going to see clearly to take the speck that's in your brother's eye. For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its fruit. Figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of the evil treasures produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Now, how many of you have ever said something and it came out of your mouth and you wondered, how did that get in there? Anybody? My favorite story, and I've shared it before, and it's just so vivid, is back when we used to live up in Tazewell County, one day I was working on my Chevy Astro van, which required a lot of work. And I was underneath there trying to do some things, and I was working on it. And Eli was just moving and starting to talk, and he was just, you know, in that wonderful age. We're into everything. And we had one of those first-generation Power Wheel GP things. And so I'm underneath my Astro trying to get a filter somewhere out, and I'm doing everything I can. And I'm not an auto mechanic by any stretch of the imagination at all. There's a lot of things I can do. That ain't one of them. And so I look over and I'm thinking, oh, how cute. Here's my son. And he can't fit under it, but his arms can fit under it. And he's laying there on a piece of cardboard with his arms under and going, I'm like, what TV show did he watch? How did he, what is with that? Who taught him that? Yeah, exactly. It's a TV show, exactly. What is it that we reproduce so much of what we see? And so in terms of our conversation today and what the Apostle Paul is trying to communicate, when we look ourselves, when we examine ourselves, I want to ask you this question. Who has your ear? To whom do you listen? Now, and a lot of us, I want you to think about that right now. Who has your ear? Is it a specific news organization? Is it a specific political party? Is it a certain social group? Is it a non-for-profit? Is it a blogger? Is it a preacher? Is it a political figure? Who is it that has your ear? To whom do you give a license to impart into your life? And it's important that we really do look at, is your source truth? And Paul is kind of telling them, you need to look inside. You need to examine your source. And verse 43, no good tree bears bad fruit. Nor again does a bad tree bear bad fruit, for each one is known by its fruit. The bottom line is this. We need to quit listening to people who have logs in their eyes. And that's a good point for us to gravitate and to spend some time looking inside. When you don't discipline your ear, you will believe anything. Now in Scripture, the There's a group of people called the Saints of Berea, these individuals who lived at Berea. And Paul says, look, these saints of Berea were more noble than the saints of Thessalonica. And it tells a reason. And the scripture says that it's because they sought out, the book of Acts says they sought out to see if what was taught was true. The saints of Berea were more noble than the saints of Thessalonica. In other words, there was something about that their walk with Christ that they really wanted to search out the scriptures. Now, they checked, they fact-checked according to the Bible, not according to just what everyone said. Because there are people who talk crazy stuff. Anybody know anyone who just, they just seem to just say stuff? Like, where did that come from? Well, they really began to go back and they checked their source. And so they are applauded in Scripture because they didn't just take stuff. They checked it out. They went back to the Word. And their source was God's Word. That is truth. Sanctify them by, Jesus prays, sanctify them by your truth, for your Word is true. And so the source of everything, the source for all facts, the source for all truth is God's Word. And we need to go back to that in all areas of our lives. And when we do that, my next point is this. Realize that Jesus Christ is in you. Now, when I say that, that means that Jesus Christ is with us constantly. That we are dependent on Christ always. Now, Paul was dealing to a huge group here who were infiltrating the gospel and trying to mix the gospel with legalism. They're trying to make this kind of this hybrid Christianity that was going back to dependence on the law. And Paul was calling them out and saying, no, look, you are in Christ always. You are dependent on Christ always. And that Christ is your righteousness. And if Christ is your righteousness, that means that we are somehow connected. We are connected not only with Him, but connected with one another. Self-examination is not just checking to see if you lived good enough. In fact, Paul openly talks about his weaknesses being a strength. And the real issue is understanding the enduring presence of Christ. I want you to know that Christ is with you. And that makes the difference. You need to be reminded of that. It's something that we need to remind ourselves. That He has constant, everybody say constant. Constant lordship. I get worn out with folks who are the Sunday morning Christians. Who, when things are going well, that's super. Or actually, then there's others. It's, you know, when things are going poorly, then they go towards Christ. But when things are going well, then they, I don't need God. No, you need Him all the time. The psalmist was correct when he wrote, I need Thee, oh, I need Thee every hour. I need Thee. So does He have constant lordship? You see, if Jesus has constant lordship, not just once a week or a couple hours a week or just our devotion time. When He has constant lordship, our actions will begin to follow. We will begin to change. Grace does not condone our lack of growth, but rather grace convicts us to continual transformation. And that's why Paul says, look, in my weaknesses, they're strengthened by divine intervention. Now, a lot of us may be facing some issues that we don't necessarily want to deal with. I've got some folks who I spend some time with, and we're honest about what is it that God is asking you to do that you don't want to do. Sometimes that can look like discipline. Simple discipline. I mean, honestly, do we like discipline? Do we look for, how can I discipline myself? No, we don't. And so what we can do is we can sit back and say, well, God loves me. That's the big phrase. Oh, God loves you right where you are. Everybody agree with that, right? And it is factually accurate. God does love. He loves sinners. But He does not love us remaining and never becoming closer to Him. God wants us to be closer with Him. And that's good news because I want to be closer to Him. Don't you? And I recognize that I'm not there yet. And so there's a process for me to get to that aspect is a continual journey as we move closer to God and we allow things inside of us to be replaced by more of Him. These weaknesses then become a strength as we allow this beautiful transformation process to happen. Now, I truly hope and that you can look at your life and you can say, if I ask the question, what has God done for you? And if you say, well, back in third grade, fill in the blank. You know, it's sad. I know people who are, you know, up there in years. Well, I'll call it the biblical. They're long-headed tooth. who I've asked, you know, tell me about your spiritual walk. Well, back in junior high, I accepted Christ. Okay, what else? Well, that's pretty much it. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I believe God's watching out. That is good stuff. You know, and those things are fantastic and those things are powerful. You know, and another thing that's really amazing is that God allows us to depart from some old ways of thinking. Even some old angers or even some fears. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, self-discipline. I'm speaking with an individual who said that they could never forgive, blah, blah, blah. He's like, really? No. I love God and I want, but, and I know that that's God, that's something He's wanting me to do, but I just can't do it. To which I say, okay, I will give you that. You can't, but Christ in you can do all things. Christ in you can overcome. And so that's part of the good news of the gospel, is that we have a new life. Jesus didn't just come to take care of our past and say, now it's up to you to walk every day. That's not the gospel. That's legalism. What Jesus came to do is say, I want to walk and give you a new spirit. And so it's up to us to yield our spirit to the indwelling of His Spirit and then allow that beautiful transformation to take place. That is the good news. And so my counsel to everyone, which I believe is the same as Paul's, focus on the good news, not fake news. Focus on the gospel of Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. Paul says, finally, brothers, rejoice. Aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with each other, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. I would love for the God of love and peace to be with me. Anybody else? Here's what we do. Rejoice, aim for restoration. That's both Godward and horizontally and vertically. Comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Verse 12 says, greet one another with a holy kiss. Obviously, that meant something different necessarily. I used to live in Italy, and I came from a Eastern. I was born in the West Coast, the East Coast, and we have personal space. We don't like people in our personal space. And I remember going to Florence and getting off the plane, and everybody coming up, oh, buongiorno, and they go and do that, you know, kiss on either thing. I'm like, ew, you broke my 3-foot personal space. What is with these people? And it was interesting. It was a culture shock. Anybody ever had culture shock? Coming to Pike County was a little bit of a culture shock. Okay, in certain ways. But I remember that. And so after I lived there, you know, several months into it, it's like, wow, I began to do the same thing. I'd walk into a place, oh, and all of a sudden there was this warmth. Something changed, something transformed because I was immersed in a society and I allowed myself to change. And for a lot of us, we need to re-examine what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And that means we develop a place of intimacy and allowing one another to have that part in our lives. That's one of the reasons that we're making this transformation to go to 2 services instead of 3 services. It's because we feel like we have 3 churches. We have an 8 o'clock church, we have a 9:15 church, and we have a 10:30 church. And so we feel like we need to unify. We need to have a season where we can come together and not just come together, to come together and be a family, to experience the grace and the love of what it means to be connected with one another. Doesn't that sound good? Does that mean we're going to give each other a holy kiss? It means we're going to maybe have a holy hug, the Christian side hug, you know. It means that we need to be that type of openness with one another, that type of a unity that Christ wants to bring, because that is a beautiful thing. Rejoice in what God has done and is doing. I appreciate, Mary, you sharing that. Yes, tell about the good news of God. Tell the things that the Lord is doing in your life. Share them with one another. And that means, that leads to the understanding that our relationship with God changes our relationships with one another. You can't say you love God and don't love those around you. So Christ is trying to transform. That's part of the gospel, is we have a new heart. And so the restoration becomes important. Bringing people to Christ and presenting the gospel, presenting the good news. Guys, spend more effort in your life and more of your abilities on the good news than fake news. Be motivated by the gospel. And how do we do this? How do we overcome those things? It's a continual process. Is this? This is accomplished by the indwelling of God's Spirit. I love how the final verse here shows the Trinity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, grace is getting what you don't deserve. Jesus gave his life. Jesus, in essence, amazing grace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's the tense of God. God is love. So we have Jesus Christ the Son, we have the love of God, and we have the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Interesting that the word that he uses here is the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. In other words, we allow the Holy Spirit is indwelling. We yield to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the ultimate gentleman. He will not force. It's our choice to yield to God's Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, throughout this week, I really want us to be motivated about allowing God's Spirit. Remind yourself, Jesus is with us. Jesus is in us. Allow the Holy Spirit's transformation to happen. And that means proclaiming the good news. Because I don't think that you ever have to hype people up about God. I seriously don't. And sometimes I worry about that in churches where you're like, okay, we got to pump the people up about God. If you know how much God loves you and what he's done for you, that should do it. It's not about, you know, adopting a personality or an exuberance in your expressiveness, because you can worship God in quietness. You can worship God by just allowing him to process and to be Lord. It's not about how we do things. It's about getting them done God's way and allowing his Spirit to flow through us. We are his. God wants to use us in a powerful way. He wants us to be his ambassadors. Isn't that a great job? Let's be motivated by the good news, and let's resist the fake news. Amen? Let's stand to our feet. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, I praise you for this day that you have given us. Lord, I pray for all of the church family who's traveling to St. Louis right now. And those who are participating, God, I just pray that you'd give them a safe travel. And Lord, allow them to feel their connection with the body of Christ. We pray your blessing to be upon them today. And Lord, we pray for your moving within our life. We pray for this transition that we have coming up. And certainly it's hard for us to have change in any way. But God, we want to be more like you. And Father, I pray for each one here that we would be so motivated by the good news, Lord, that we would proclaim it. We would spend our energies doing your will and allowing your Spirit to truly, Father, take over in our life. Thank you for grace and mercy, and I ask your blessing on each one here today. And we pray this all in Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. God bless you.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.